This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We will now follow upon last week's fascinating study with even more information, and Dr. Wyatt will share with us the importance of expanding the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Dennis. There is so much that needs to be said about God's kingdom and our role in the realm of God. Today is just a sampling. Sharon's reading is from Acts, the 17th chapter, and I hope you stay with us.
Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, in everything I see how religious you are, for as I passed along, observing the objects of your worship, I also found an altar on which had been inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' What you then worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of both heaven and earth, does not live in shrines, nor is he ministered to by human hands, as though he had need of anything, for it is he that gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything else. From one ancestor he has made every race of man that dwell on the face of the earth, determining the times of their existence and the boundaries of their habitation. All this that they might seek God, hoping that they might desire him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. If we are then God's offspring, we ought not to imagine the divine nature in terms of gold or silver, or stone, or something made by the art and imagination of man. Now it is true that God has overlooked such ignorance in the past, but he now commands all to repent, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, and he has provided a guarantee to all that this is so, by raising this man from the dead."
Thank you, Sharon. Paul has been sent on ahead to the great city of Athens, as Paul had become a catalyst for those opposed to the gospel in Thessalonica and Berea. Now in Athens, as he did everywhere, he was found in the local synagogues, contending for the truth of the gospel. It had spread to the open market, where the various schools of philosophy were intrigued and brought Paul to the Areopagus, a large outcropping near the Agora, or marketplace. Or more likely, he was brought to the council, which was named for the rock where it met in ancient times. Here is where we find Paul, largely because of the legendary Athenian curiosity. As Luke, the author of our book of Acts, tells us, those of Athens and the foreigners living there spent their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Paul will reflect first on how the city was filled with idols, monuments, and objects of veneration, all for the myriads of deities in the Greek pantheon. One of these monuments, Paul notices, was in honor of an unknown god. Such inscriptions on altars has been recorded by archaeologists, and Paul will use this as the basis for his proclamation. Paul will say to the Athenians, there is an unknown God, the God who made the world and everything in it, the God of both heaven and earth. This God does not live in shrines or any marble temple. He doesn't need to be ministered to by priest or priestess. He needs nothing from mankind. For it is this God that gives to us our very existence and everything else we need. Paul's proclamation is to us simple, but would be ultimately revolutionary to the philosophically inclined Athenians. For Paul then adds that God created all, every race and nation, and placed them where they abide, for the purpose of seeking and finding him, for he is not far from any of us. Paul then does not quote scripture, which of course would mean absolutely nothing to these men, but quotes from their own poets, Epimenides and Aratus, that in God we have our existence, that indeed we are children of God. As such, let us leave behind the childish beliefs that we can imagine what God looks like, making images of precious metal or stone. That is past, for God is now no longer inclined to overlook such ignorance. For he commands all to repent, for one comes who will judge the world righteously. God has declared this to be so, guaranteeing it by raising this man from the dead. Paul will obviously continue his message, and some will believe and want to hear more. But others mock the whole idea of his message, particularly the idea of a resurrection from the dead. It is still the same. The proclamation of the gospel, of God's kingdom, his realm, will create the same divisions. The only difference is that our world does not seem as devout or religious. But is that even true? Many of those who seem so irreligious, so adamant about refusing the gospel, so hostile to Christianity, are on closer examination just as passionate about what they believe, just as fervent in converting adherents to their way of thinking. They have their own creeds, their own temples, even their own idols with priesthood, and you dare not ridicule or dismiss them. It is as C.S. Lewis so correctly pointed out, Christians and materialists hold different beliefs about the universe. They cannot both be right. The one who is wrong will act in a way which simply does not fit the real universe. Consequently, with even the best intentions in the world, he will be helping his fellow creatures to their destruction. But which realm is true? Which kingdom is right? For they cannot both be. Materialists, these humanists, venerate rationalism and moral relativity. There is no ultimate right and wrong. It is what is convenient or agreeable at any given time, and thus can be changed at a whim. Thus, what is wrong at one time may not be so at another time. Everything becomes blurred, even confusing, with no standards. Abandoning your newborn child in a trash bin becomes involuntary, the results of unreasonable demands of a judgmental society. And above all, don't teach abstinence, responsibility, or that there are consequences, unfavorable ones if you become promiscuous. Let's teach self-esteem and sensitivity. Let's forget the values, tested truths of centuries. Let's try something that's new, because we don't want the tried and true values of old. But such relativism has a price. The morality of the current fad has no basis by which to condemn anything, say racism, let alone murder or theft. It can all be changed with the popular feelings. Now it is Christianity that is marginalized. Tomorrow, who will be the next group or belief system that will be marginalized for the sake of tolerance, all for this brave new world? They defend themselves as open, tolerant, and rational, but they are not. They seek the expiation of every other faith but their own. We can see this so clearly in their blind adherence to Darwinism. It is a creedal demand that Darwinism, in all its currently held dogma, be lavishly held onto. Any attempt to hear the failings, the unanswered questions, the difficulties that are mounting for the theories of Darwin must be crushed at all cost. You just declare any opposition to be religion trying to creep into the public schools, when it is their religion of materialism, of secular humanism, that is being espoused in our schools. By all means, don't allow even a discussion of intelligent design in school, or any presentation by some of the greatest biologists and astronomers on our planet. Then there is the Big Bang, the beginning of our universe, indeed the beginning of space-time and the laws of physics. This beginning has become a problem for the humanist, the atheist, for it allows for God. So now any harebrained idea that asserts that the universe emerged from nothing is eagerly embraced. Yes, let's affirm that nature created itself. It's ludicrous, but that is what they have been left with. For you see, these self-proclaimed rationalists have repeatedly stated there can be no place for God. They don't merely want God gone, they find him objectionable. To avoid any possibility of God, they invent any complicated and inane explanation, when a much simpler, more obvious explanation lies right before them. By all measurements, by all that science has discovered and continues to discover, our world, against all odds, is full of life. The simple explanation for all of this strange and unlikely coincidences is that the universe was designed for life. But to some, this is simply unacceptable. They go so far as to speculate seriously that space aliens brought life to Earth. Of course, that only moves their problems somewhere else. The problem, you see, is mankind's existence. How does random chance create the human mind, produce consciousness, our self-awareness, and then man's willingness for self-sacrifice, and more, the universal reality of a moral conscience? But as one scientist declared, we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. They cannot accept God. They cannot allow any possibility of his existence. Their dogmas and suppositions, you see, to them must be true. They simply cannot imagine that materialism, that naturalism, is not the answer to everything. Such a level of dogmatism would embarrass most Christians, certainly myself. Most Christians accept a constant searching and seeking for the truth, and that there is always room for new insight and greater knowledge. These humanists have closed themselves off from any knowledge that does not conform to the test tube or scientific examination. They are saying to a world that needs universal standards, true meaning, that because God cannot be discovered through science, then God cannot be discovered at all. And with this dogmatic religion, they infiltrate our schools, universities, our media, even our courts, and have robbed many young generations of any hope, even the desire to seek God. Why seek what your teachers, your professors, even television tells you does not exist? It is constantly reinforced that this life is all that there is. As we have descended from the animals, and are only animals ourselves, so why not behave like an animal? Why not just satisfy whatever natural urges we might feel? If this life is all there is, then live for the day, indulge all the excesses possible. Yes, this is the legacy. If God is removed, then there is no hope, no ultimate justice, no destiny, and then we are robbed of joy, any real peace, and we are lost in our sins. And then what of our society, and thus our civilization? Our ideas of equality, freedom, individual rights, the rule of law, and most of our legal precedents have arisen from Christianity. Before God, our faith declares we are all the same. We are all alike in need of God's grace, and we have been given by this God a code of behavior, and we are commanded to treat others as we would have them treat us. This is the basis for all of what has become modern civilization, our realm that needs to be preserved. But will it continue if the secularists succeed? We have now too many who know not the literature, history, and philosophy of our civilization. As a result, myth and ignorance replace knowledge, and conspiracies become all too easy to believe. All because people lack basic facts, and this is even more true when it comes to Christianity. The level of knowledge, even in our churches, is appalling. Those that established this nation, those that built our great civilization, did not deny its Christian foundation. Even Thomas Jefferson, perhaps the least religious of them all, stated that religious faith was the very foundation for liberty itself. The question one must ask our humanists, the seculars, and the atheists, have they really considered what the society they seek would really look like? Rob man of his soul, of a destiny beyond himself, you will gain a world that is literally one of survival of the fittest, where the weak are eliminated, discarded. I have said it before, the world they seek, the realm they want, will not be one that they can enjoy. They might try to eliminate the realm of Christianity, and with it all that Christianity has brought to our world. But fortunately, God will not allow it. We will preserve the realm, this kingdom. Besides, its destruction is not actually possible. In our text, Paul tells the Athenians that God once overlooked the ignorance, but no longer. Now all are called to repent, for a day has been appointed when all will be judged in righteousness. God, through Jesus, will justly judge. This is assured, guaranteed, in the one act of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, all religions are not the same. The claims of the various religions are incompatible. Therefore, truth cannot embrace them all. Christianity is based on actual events. Only Christianity declares that man cannot reach God. And so God, by his own actions, has made it possible for man to come to him. It is in Christianity that Christ paid the debt. In fact, Christ has offered us something for nothing. As C.S. Lewis writes, he offers us everything for nothing. In a sense, the whole Christian life consists in accepting that remarkable offer. Blaise Pascal, a French mathematician and philosopher, said it so well. We face a matter of life and death. If we believe in God and it turns out God does not exist, we must only face the fact that we have made a mistake. If, however, we reject God and it turns out God exists, we face a far more serious risk, eternal separation from God. There are then two kinds of people, the reasonable and the unreasonable. Let's be one of the reasonable people, not unreasonable. O Lord, give us the courage to always stand up and preserve your kingdom, to do all we can to proclaim the unique and indispensable truth of the kingdom of God. For this you have called us, and for this you have made eternal glory possible. To God be the praise. Amen.
Christianity is now the preferred and one permitted target. It but reveals that indeed the full and complete message of Jesus Christ, when delivered with passion and conviction, will bring opposition, so we must be prepared to give a defense. So Dr. Wyatt is offering his book, The Question of the Truth. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of the Truth. It can be yours at no charge. We also want to express our appreciation for your prayers and your gracious continuing support. Those who have not yet begun to support this ministry, we urge you to consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. There are the overseas mission efforts that need your help, the radio ministry, and our many publications. So we ask you to write and become a member of our team of the faithful. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This is an important subject and needs to be repeated. And we will take a pause from the subject of defending our faith, but only for a time. It is too important not to be addressed again. Like this from Norm of Vancouver, who writes, I had ceased praying for my son, but felt the need to do so again. This time, maybe just the accumulation of prayer, but I heard from my son that he is entered rehab and seems intent on making it work this time, keeping clean, and wants to return to church with me and his mother. You can't imagine how we feel. It's like walking on air. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Norm, I am with you in your joy. And if you need prayer, please write. Our addresses will be given again at the close of the broadcast. But now Chris Tomlin performs a favorite, Jesus Loves Me. And until next week, know that He does love us.
Jesus, He loves us.
The program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book on his very subject, titled The Question of Truth. Here is what is entailed in this sermon and much more, and also the importance for humanity of our Christian faith.
We urge you to write and ask for The Question of Truth. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.